Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
In less important matters, so we no longer have tweets, now we have X's. Elaine Burke, host of the For Tech's Sake podcast, welcome back to the show.
Hi, how you doing?
Tell me about Elon Musk's rebranding of Twitter this week.
Yeah, as you said, it's rebranded as X. Not the slickest of rebrands, though. So basically, if you try to visit x.com, it will just redirect to twitter.com. It does now, I think, across most platforms have the X logo where the bird used to be. But even that's causing problems because to call the app X on the iOS store, you need to have a name that has at least two characters and X is only one, so it may still be called Twitter but have an X logo as you're trying to install it. It's pretty messy, to be totally honest.
Okay, is everyone still calling it Twitter? Yeah,
absolutely. And I think you find that especially with Irish people. Like, I mean, I still call it the point and it still lands down to me. I think we'll be tough ones to change over.
Never be X to us. Why has he decided, I mean, the whys with Elon Musk, who knows, but why has he ostensibly decided to rebrand it?
Yeah, I'd say for some people, they probably just think this is just another one of the quirks of this social media platform under Elon's leadership. But also, there is a pattern here where he is quite fond of X as a brand. So his other company is called SpaceX. Tesla sells a Model X car. He has an AI company called XAI. And it all goes back to one of the first companies he founded, which was called X.com. And it eventually became part of PayPal. And that's where he made his first Silicon Valley fortune. And he ended up buying the X.com domain back from PayPal a number of years ago. So he owned it because of that, and he was obviously planning to do something with it, and lo and behold, he now owns Twitter and he's decided to divert that into his X ambitions.
Okay, and why is he saying it's not called Twitter? What was wrong with Twitter? Like,
so I think what he plans to do here, and this is what him and the new CEO of the company, Linda Yaccarino, has basically said, is that they're on a mission now to change what Twitter is. So no longer this kind of simple social media platform that grew and grew, and it does more things now. You know, we've got more characters that we can fit into tweets. You can post images and videos, but they want to do a lot more than that with it. They want to integrate some sort of payments infrastructure to the platform to make it something of a marketplace. And I think he wants to basically create a super app, but that's not really something that we'd be familiar with in the EU, or users in the US wouldn't be familiar with super apps, but they are popular in other areas. So
like in China, people basically live through one app, don't they, and do all their business through it.
Yeah, and it's called WeChat. So most people would consider WeChat is something very similar to WhatsApp, but it's so much more than that if you're a user in China. So as well as doing your text messages and that kind of thing, you can pay utility bills through that app. You can shop through that app. You can book hospital appointments through that app. And all that happens because, A, in China, you don't have all the competition for apps that you have in this part of the world, because a lot of apps are restricted there in China. So you don't have Google, you don't have Instagram, you don't have Twitter itself. So they're lacking competition. And also a lot of big services like your hospitals and like your utilities adopted the infrastructure of WeChat and came on board with it. So you need a lot of factors in your favour to build a super app, but I don't
know. You need a quasi-totalitarian, centrally controlled economy, is basically what you're saying,
definitely
for
helps
this to work.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
There are other regions where it works, but it's regions where you also have a lot of unbanked people who don't have access to traditional banking services and have made use of digital payments infrastructure for small payments, for micropayments, even paying things through your phone credit and stuff like that. But again, you don't really have that in US and EU markets, because not only do people mostly have access to traditional banking services, but there are also already digital challenger apps and stuff like that that people have access to. So there's just a lot of competition even in that space.
Yeah, you'd also imagine, I mean, Twitter doesn't seem like the kind of thing that people would be doubling down on at the moment and putting their whole life into, and their banking and everything else. I mean, how is Twitter going since he took over?
Yeah, like that's one of the big issues here, like, would be trust and stability, which are the things that you really want from anything that you're interacting with financially. You nearly want them to be boring, and Twitter's definitely not boring right now. And I do think, like, when you see a platform that advertisers can't even get on board with at the moment because of its instability, I don't see that then transferring to something that people will invest their money in and save their money on. And they've dropped about 50% in their advertising revenue. And instability is a huge part of that because advertisers are, you know, iffy about associating their ads with a platform that maybe isn't moderated as well as it used to be or has introduced rate limits. So they don't know if their ads are going to get the kind of exposure that they should if you're limiting users' access to the feed and to the tweets and things like that. So I think maybe this pivot to payments is Elon Musk's attempt to recoup some of those losses to try and introduce new revenue streams because advertising is not working for them. But I mean, it's also not working because of these changes. So it's kind of like a self-fulfilling loop. And there are some cynics that think that maybe he is just trying to bankrupt the company so that he's no longer got the burden he has on the money he paid for it, because it wasn't all his money. He has investors that are involved in that purchase, and maybe he just wants to run the company in the ground so he doesn't have to pay anyone back.
So do you think Twitter could now collapse as a business?
I think like with these things, so you don't normally see like internet platforms fully just like switch off one day. It's usually like a slow walk to the end. And sometimes they hang on in certain ways.
Is that happening?
I do think like users are definitely being given loads of off ramps. So they're given opportunities with competitors, like Threads is now a thing. Now, not in the EU just yet, but plenty of US users have taken it on board.
This is Meta's kind of version of Twitter. Is that taking off?
It looks so much like Twitter. It got over 100 million users really, really quickly. Now, engagement is not very strong on it, but, you know, just to even get the usership that they did and the pace that they did, like, it's a really strong sign that this is a strong competitor. TikTok has now also introduced text-led posts. So other platforms are trying to attract the users that maybe are leaving Twitter or, like, tempt them to try something else and see if that suits them. I've heard a lot of people say they're using the app less, and that they're just not finding it's the same experience that they used to be. But I think that will be a really slow attrition rate, because it might be that thing where maybe people don't check in it hourly as they used to, maybe they don't check into it daily as they used to, and it will be a slow trickle out. But it's the fact that they keep giving these exit points, like now even calling it X is giving people an exit point, and saying that it's going to be something completely different is giving people an exit point.
And then when a tipping point happens, of course, if like there'd be a critical mass situation as well, that if people are slowly moving off it, if it's not where it's at anymore, then it'll suddenly just be gone, won't it? So if you're a betting woman, Elaine, will Twitter as we know it be there in a year? Or X?
I think it could be fundamentally changed even within a year, because we're not even a full year into Elon Musk's ownership and already we're seeing quite significant changes to the platform and how it operates. So it'd be very, very interesting from my point of view in my work to watch what happens next. But what it seems to be is that the plan now is to transform what it is and what it's about. So I do think that it is the end of that platform as we have known it to be, and something very different is coming ahead.
Okay. But I'm getting from you that you don't think that very different thing is going to work.
No, I really don't. I don't think a super app will take off in the US and EU markets. And I do think that that's where Elon focuses a lot of his interest. And also there's the danger of under Elon Musk. Now, he's not the CEO anymore, but he's definitely still puppet master, essentially. Yeah. And he's COO, pulling the strings on a lot of things. There is a danger of, like, he may get bored and just stop playing around with this new toy and move on to some other interest. And he has already just started up a new AI company, and he's very interested in what he can do with AI. So like there's also that risk as well. If he just gets bored and decides to switch it off, he can.
Okay. I hear what you're saying. This item could be summed up in three words. He broke it. He broke it, didn't he?
He broke the internet. Yeah, he did a Kim Kardashian, I guess. Yeah.
Elaine Burke, host of For Tech's Sake podcast. Thank you very much. Talk to you soon, Elaine. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye.